Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on prayer was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. How many of you were not here last night when I started this teaching on prayer? Could I see your hand? Praise God. Welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. I'm not going to go back and reteach everything, but I started talking about prayer and I focused on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13 or 14. And we were talking, the very first thing I did what Jesus did. He started countering the religious misconceptions about prayer. And he started off by saying, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray. And I just started kind of tearing down so many religious traditions last night. And we talked about people whose motive is wrong. They're praying for show so that people could recognize them, or they're praying to soothe their own conscience and to make them feel like, now I've done this, God owes me this. All of those motives void your prayers. If you pray with vain repetitions, which is so prevalent in the body of Christ today, where people go through and they have printed prayers, or they go through a rosary and say the same thing over and over and over, or they go through chants and they say this, or even the Lord's Prayer, where you say, Our Father which art in heaven, and they just recite that and think that somehow or another that's pleasing to God. That's never what God intended. That was more of a model prayer. It gave you points that you were supposed to make, how you're supposed to enter His gates with praise. Those things are just religious. It's religious. If you're going through these rituals, if you change your voice when you pray, if you have to scream and yell, if you have to say glory to God, if you have to do something religious, there's people, and you know what? Some of you are going to think that I'm trying to just come against you. I'm not against anybody, but you know what? You need to examine yourself. And there's so many people that when I pray for them, they have to jerk. They have to feel the anointing, or they have to fall down on the floor. You know what? I don't tell people everything that happens to me, but I have felt the power of God so much that I have jerked before. I'm not against you getting hit by the power of God. I've fallen out under the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's not every time. And there's some people that think you can't receive from God, and they do that. I've actually had people come up here before, and before they fall down, they look to see if there's a catcher. If it's really God, you don't need a catcher. But we've developed Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, religious traditions where if you don't fall down, you didn't get anything from God. Where if you don't jerk, where if you don't have some ecstatic thing, where if you don't speak in tongues, you know, it's just religious. Thank you for that one, that's right. Pentecostals, charismatics have their own religious traditions. You just need to be genuine, is what the Lord was trying to say. First of all, before He can teach you what prayer is, He has to teach you what prayer is not. And that's what the Lord did, and that's what I devoted all of last night to, was countering all of the religious traditions. You know, before I get into this verse, let me read this to you out of Matthew chapter 23. You might ought to turn over there and read this. You wouldn't believe this is in your Bible. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. There's a lot of people that think if I'm praying, that's all that counts. It doesn't matter how I pray. I'm just praying and it doesn't matter. It does matter how you pray. You need to pray correctly. And if you pray incorrectly, if you pray for pretense, which means appearance, so that you can pretend that you're holier than what you are, if it's just a religious form, you receive greater damnation. Prayer could actually make things worse for you. That's a sobering thought. Prayer is powerful, but it's like a weapon. If you give a kid a rifle, did you know that you need to teach that kid how to use that rifle? If they don't use it properly, you can kill yourself or kill somebody else with it. Anything that's powerful is also potentially damaging. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing when done correctly, but done incorrectly, done for the wrong motives, it actually makes you more accountable. It actually can open up Satan into your life. You know, Jamie and I had a very good friend that I'm responsible. I brought back this teaching about how Satan is God's messenger boy, which is untrue. But this is back when I was in the Baptist church, and this is what I was taught. And this person was preaching that Satan can't do anything but what God allows. And so therefore, if you're having a problem from the devil, it's actually God that's allowed it. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. And anyway, I brought this teaching back, and on there was a testimony about a boy who was so timid that he couldn't witness. And so what he did was pray and say, God, I want to be a witness. And if you have to kill me, if you have to give me an incurable disease so that I could witness and show how that I'm not afraid to die and how I still love you. And if that's the only way that you can use me, use me. And he got leukemia and died. And four people at his funeral got born again. I brought that back. We shared that with this girl, and she prayed that same prayer. And when the next morning woke up with leukemia and died of leukemia. And at her funeral, four people got born again. God didn't answer that prayer. Satan took advantage of that prayer. There's times that people pray and say, oh God, just break this person. If you have to kill them, do whatever. Satan will take advantage of that kind of a prayer. You need to pray correctly. Prayer is a powerful thing, but done incorrectly, it can cause problems. And so I'm encountering some wrong attitudes about prayer. Over here in Luke, the 11th chapter, is the exact same teaching that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6 that we dealt with last night. And in the first few verses, it talks about him giving this Lord's, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 5, after he gave that, he said unto them in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. You know, there's a lot of people. This is the traditional way that these passages have been interpreted, that God is not quick to answer our prayers for whatever reason. Just like this man who was in bed. He was asleep. He didn't want to be bothered. Leave me alone. I'm in bed. My wife and kids are with me in the bed. Leave me alone. Go away. And people have taught that this is the way that God is. God is not quick to answer your prayers. And so what you've got to do is you just have to petition him. You can't let go. You have to badger God until he wears down and gives in. Most of you are looking at me, isn't that the way it is? That's the way that it's been taught. This is, and they say, because of his importunity, he'll rise and give him as many as he wants. And this has been taught to say that you just got to stay after God and stay after him. And you got to go in and you basically have to have this attitude that, God, I'm not leaving until you do something. I'm not letting go until you give me what I came after. And that attitude is promoted in prayer. That is the exact opposite of what these verses are teaching. Exact opposite. The Lord isn't using this to teach you that this is how he is. What he's doing is using a physical example that people could relate to show you how ridiculous that kind of an attitude is. Here's what he's doing. He says, how many of you have a friend that if you went to him at midnight and if you had a need, how many of your friends would say, leave me alone, I'm in bed, don't bother me, who cares about you? I only care about myself, leave me alone. How many of you have friends like that? Let me tell you, those aren't friends. We had about 5 or 6 hands raised. You know what? You're deceived. That you do not have a friend like that. That's not a friend. No true friend would treat you that way. You know, I could go to any of these people here that I consider my friends, and I could ask them, if I had a need in the middle of the night, I could ask them, and I guarantee you, I wouldn't call Charlie and Jill. Matter of fact, they called me in the middle of the night when their son died. And you know what? I didn't say, hey, I'm asleep. How dare you bother me? Leave me alone. Man, Jamie and I got up out of bed and we stayed up for hours praying and believing God for a miracle. I don't have a single friend here that if I was to call them with a need would sit there and tell me, leave me alone, it's the middle of the night, quit bothering me. Our friends treat us better than this. Why would we think that God has to be badgered into submission? And when you have that kind of an attitude about God and you see God as this unattached, distant person who doesn't care about you and you've just got to badger Him and badger Him and badger Him, that's one of the reasons that you aren't getting your prayers answered, is because you go in already with unbelief. You already are going in with a bad attitude about God. And it keeps you from receiving. So He's not using this as a comparison, but rather a contrast. He says, people don't treat you this bad. Why do you think God would treat you this way? Why do you think Jesus, who came to this earth and died for you and bore all of this, why do you think that you have to badger Him and plead over and over and over and beg and pressure God? And if He won't listen to you, then call the prayer chain and get 50 people to pressure God. And if He won't do that, well, then fast and pray so that you're going to play on His mercies. And right before you die, He has to, all right, I'll give it to you. Look at the next verse. In verse 9, He says, and I say unto you, in other words, in contrast to the way that this man would operate, and he wouldn't even give his friend something because he was in bed and he was just a totally selfish person. But here's what I say unto you. Ask, and it shall be given you, even if it's at midnight. Seek, and you shall find, and it shall be given unto you, even if I'm in bed and asleep. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This isn't teaching us that God is this unconcerned, disconnected God who's busy running the universe and you got to badger Him and pressure Him and do something to get God's attention. It's teaching just the opposite, that God is closer to you than any friend.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come to one of our Gospel Truth Seminars that we hold around the country. You know these programs, I know many of you get blessed by it, and man, the Word of God is blessing your life. Just think what it would be like to sit under this for an hour or two every night, 5 times over 3 days. That's what a Gospel Truth Seminar is like. And I had just had a guy recently say that as much as he enjoyed me on television, he says, man, the meeting was 10 times better. I encourage you to come. These are really powerful times with the Lord. It would make a difference in your life. So I encourage you to please take advantage of these Gospel Truth Seminars.